serving gang mockers. All y'all got to get some trouble. Welcome to the Sports Lounge Podcast, where we celebrate the athlete's success on and off the court and talk about the mental health and how they are having success after the game. It's a pleasure to introduce you guys to James Williams, a mentor and a trainer at Eastern Oregon University, defensive MVP in all conference. How's everything going with you, James? How life's treating you after the game?
Yeah, it's good.
Glad to hear that. Well, just want to apologize for the introduction, but very excited to have you on. It's an honor. So thank you for taking time to chat with us at the Sports Lounge.
Of course. Absolutely.
And so again, you know, just want people to know that you are a superstar athlete at Eastern Oregon University. And today we're going to talk about your transition from your football career as a trainer and a mentor, you know, giving back to the community and help the others don't get started. So what made you play football out all the other sports?
I was horrible, I was supposed to say the least. And not to say, you said superstar, I don't know about that.
Hey, it was all conference. You doing something right in MVP.
I'm probably more proud of the first team all academic.
Nice.
More of the accolades. I was probably more excited about being able to balance the schooling with
yes.
the sports in college. You know, got 3 degrees in 4 years. I don't say that to brag, because trust me, if you know me, that's reluctant right
now. But hold on, you say 3 degrees. You got to let us know what degrees you have. That's pretty impressive.
I have a bachelor's degree in pre-law, bachelor's degree in economics, and an MBA in finance.
So you was a stellar student athlete in college. You was handling your business.
No, it's not that. Like I said, you just learn to navigate.
Okay.
All times that involves getting around the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And learn to establish yourself. So like I said, I would not ever say I was a superstar athlete or student either.
Yes. Yes.
I was on my high school teacher when I remember my first paper in college, and I remember my first paper in college, and my professor was like, I sent him I had an A, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got an A on the paper.
Yes.
So trust me, not stellar at all.
Okay, okay.
But football for me, man, why I chose that route, honestly, was it was kind of joking, but it's true. I really didn't excel in the other sports. I started at a young age, as most athletes do.
Mm-hmm.
I was forced in a lot of ways. I was that kid that was lazy, overweight. More nerd. I was probably more into schooling and things like that, conversations, than I was into sports. And so I remember being 8, 9 years old, and my mom, put me on a football team because it sounded fun. And I was like, this sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And then conditioning happened.
Oh, the conditioning would change your outlook.
Yeah. And I was a kid that came in last every drill.
Mm-hmm.
And, truly, like I said, it's all about association and who you navigate yourself with. And I probably would never play football.
Wow.
At that point, at a young age, I probably would have chosen not to play because I quit almost weekly.
Okay.
Because I did not want to run, did not want to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, a lot of coaches just said, get him out of here. And
wow.
I had one coach, and may he rest in peace. He actually just died a couple weeks ago, Louis Bland.
Sorry to hear that.
Bland family. But that gentleman right there said, I'll take him. And he worked with me, ran with me, made me run, helped me, get me around the right people. And ultimately, it led to further career. But my whole life probably was switched because of that one gentleman. So football for me was,
wow.
I got an option to play.
Okay.
Mom made me play.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I got around the people who helped navigate me down the football waters, if you will.
Nice, nice. So how did that, well, we talked about how that impact you, because you definitely have someone that just focused on you, mentor you, navigate you through their journey. So what, did that influence you to play football on the college level? Because you was balling pretty hard in Modesto. So how did that influence you to, like, you know what, I think I'm going to take this to the next level in college?
You know, I started like that. Most athletes start as kids,
Yes.
We start as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Young age, and I still to this day had a great conversation with my son's his coach that he's working with right now in mm-hmm. sports, and he's trying to tell me, everyone's trying to get their kids in sooner,
mm-hmm.
work out special. He said, once you go down the rabbit hole of full-time sports, you don't leave.
Yes.
It's not going back.
You found your niche.
Exactly. So you gotta let a kid sometimes be a kid and navigate those waters. And I'm starting to learn that is probably the route we're going with our son. But for me, you know, why I go to the next level, it was natural in a lot of ways. I think as you progress and you have, you identify a talent, because realize that football in a lot of ways is a talent. It's something you're born with. And there's a lot of people who work and work and work and work and work and develop some, you know, they might go from a 4 to an 8 in their skill set, in their sport, in their profession, but really never get that pinnacle 10 just because of it's not their innate ability, something that they've had to work really hard at. And a lot of times it was talent-based. And so long short, I had some sort of talent that was working out for me a little bit, playing nose guard and fullback in college, in high school. And ultimately, football, I mean, college kind of seemed like the next step. Plus, I surround myself with great people. I mean, some of my best friends to this day just had chances to spend some time with one of them, Reggie Mason.
Nice.
A LeVert Griffin, a Mark Roberts, all these cats. You know, LeVert going to Stanford, Reggie going to UC Davis, Mark going to Fresno State. I surrounded myself with all these guys. These are my best friends to this day. And they were getting looked at by all these top-notch schools, obviously. And so it just like it was a natural progression for me. So college, and I actually, just truth be told, actually, I didn't think I was going to go play college football. I was actually going to head to San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly, to play. And the coaching staff there was looking at me for running the ball a little bit, the whole offensive coordinator doing some fullback work. Sounded like a good football scholarship. Looked like I was going to go into engineering. I had everything I accepted, which was probably the biggest blessing. Mm-hmm. I got accepted to school, and I remember getting that, you know, I didn't make that final round of scholarships. Okay. When it finally come down to truly choosing who they're going to get scholarships to, it didn't work out for me. And so I thought I was just going to go to Cal Poly. My football career was done. And I remember that same offensive coordinator calling me up from Eastern Oregon, saying, you want to come play football for me up here? I took one trip. I liked the area. It got me out of California, which, you know, anything about Modesto.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always the best of situations growing up. And I said, I'll take it. And trust me, I went into a very small.
Yes.
To go to college.
Different culture. How was that? I mean, you play ball at Eastern Oregon University. You accomplished a lot during your time there. 3 degrees. You was college all conference, college defensive MVP. Keep going. What else you accomplished over there? Cause it felt like you found a good place though. You know, that compliment what you was, you know, your skills and you know what you aspire to be. So I mean, how you transition and how you made the best of that situation in Oregon.
Inner city, single mom, you know, 6 kids, you know, working since I was 15 years old. I'm paying for my own stuff. Never, I mean, after junior high, my mom never bought me clothes every day for school. I was helping pay the bills. And so for me, I knew I needed a way out. Not from family, but a way out of that community, a way out to take my life to the next level. I knew I had seen what I didn't want out of life.
Okay.
And so to me, college became the tool. And so I think a lot of times as athletes, we think of, you know, pro. I knew. I learned after that failed attempt of not going to a D1 big, large school, I knew right then, me, pro ain't never going to happen. So I really start to understand that football became a tool,
mm-hmm.
a tool for my education.
Mm-hmm.
I used it as such. It was never this grandiose, all-encompassing, this is the number one thing in my life. I said, I'm going to work my butt off in the sport, so therefore it will lead me to where I really want to be, which at that time, I believe, was major league, get my education and things like that. And that's kind of shifted a little bit based on, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, about, you know, after sports, but, But, you know, going into a small community, I mean, it was, I don't even remember the population. Being an interstate black kid, going into a very small, podunk, country, farming,
mm-hmm.
agricultural, based community was I actually transitioned well.
Okay.
I believe Dwayne Johnson recently said going to the COVID season, he said, your performance drives your perspective drives your performance.
I like
and
that.
Going into I didn't, and of course I just learned that recently.
Wow.
I can look back at my life,
mm-hmm.
and I can say going into that college scene at that time, my perspective was, I'm here to get a degree. I'm here to play football. I'm here to make the best college experience, stay out of trouble, do the best I can to get to that next level, go back home and change my family, or whatever that may look like. Mm-hmm. And so my perspective drove my performance to just excel. And I did everything in the sun. I was the football player who was on student government, got elected to my president, got three degrees, met my wife there. My freshman year, didn't think dating and nonetheless on my radar, saw one girl one time, said, "That's going to be my wife." True story. And I said, "That's going to be the woman I'm going to marry." And I did everything at that point in time to pursue her. So a lot of things came from that because my perspective was driving my performance. And I went to excel in everything that I was doing. And it did work out in a lot of ways. And so great school. I almost became home to me. I told my wife, when we met that I could make this home. It really felt like that. Then I decided, not so much. But transition over here to Boise, Idaho now. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, major props,
So it was a great time, totally great time.
So I gotta ask you, because it's not every day you hear someone really taking fully advantage of a collegiate scholarship, and not only that, getting 3 degrees out of that. So what was the inspiration behind that?
Like I said, when you learn to navigate the system, and that's why you gotta. Everyone knows the adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yes, agree.
Walking onto the campus that freshman year, I was broke. Scholarship paid for school and stuff, but I was broke. I didn't know how to navigate FAFSA and student loans or student aid. And I was dead broke. And I actually was broke-minded in a lot of ways, too. Just didn't know how to work money and utilize money as a tool. Just kind of blew it. And so I just started to learn, start to talk to the right resources on campus, start to talk to the right different older classmen. And I remember going into and see my counselor that spring term and sitting down with him, getting ready, my junior, which would have been my junior year, and getting ready for the next year. Okay, what classes I'm at, where I'm at, make sure I'm on track for next year and everything else. He's like, "We actually have enough credits right now." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "You can graduate right now if you wanted to."
Wow.
And I said, see, I wasn't those kids. See, I didn't take to, so most of you athletes out there who are going to college are thinking, you guys are going to, your coaches especially, are going to try to get you to take astronomy when you go to college. They're going to try to get you, especially during the fall term, or if you're, or every season, they're going to try to get you to take art, during your season. And I wasn't that kid. I wasn't that guy. I was like, I'm here to get a degree. I'm here to play football. Don't get me wrong. And I started all 4 years. And so it's not like I was this bench warmer. I started all 4 years as well. I traveled with the team all 4 years. And so it was one of those things where I was here to get a degree. So I remember my junior, it happened to be my junior year, the fall term, and I was taking 28 credits. And
people. I hope in throughout the whole school year, not in one semester, right?
One semester.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was
pretty impressive.
Normally, I say that to say that.
Wow. Okay.
What you want to do, your perspective will drive your performance. And for me, it was simple because I had the right people in my corner. Mm-hmm. I give this example. Let me give an example. See, both people, the whole goal of college, and I know this sounds really bad to some of the listeners, but it's to study the professor. You study the professor and you'll know how to get an A every time. And I knew, so I would make a deal. Let's say I needed this class to graduate. I remember econ class. I needed to take an econ class, and it was a lower level class. And I remember they only offered it twice a year, and I had to take this other class that next semester. So that mid-semester, I said, I'm going to come to class every day. I'm not going to enroll in the class. I'm going to come to class, do all the assignments. Will you let me do that, turn all my assignments in, hold my grade until next semester, and then I'll enroll in the class, and then just at the end of the semester, just sign my grade, whatever I earned this semester. She said, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, perfect example. You'll never know until you ask that question. Yes.
Who you get around, who you surround yourself with, the question. So I saw a professor say, are you willing to do this for me? She said, yeah, absolutely. I said, okay. So my point being is it's surrounding yourself. So how about I do that? Is that it's taking advantage of what is available to me. Most people don't know what they want. They know what they can have. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and that's
speak kind of on it. Okay. Well, I got to say congratulations, man, because that's a huge achievement. 3 degrees in 4 years, and just the way you navigate, the way you hustle it at the same time, it really, just really made your dreams, your goals to reality, though. So that's really, major props, though. You did that. So what was the transition like? I mean, hold on. What made you end your career, your football career? I mean, what, What made you not try to pursue the next level after you graduate your 3 degrees, a successful football career? I'm pretty sure you have some options. You know, you can probably do a walk-on or, you know, try for the, you know, whatever options you have. But do you have any options, or what made you end your career?
I could have probably played some Canadian ball. I mm-hmm. probably could have played some arena football for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably definitely could play some travel. I could definitely do some stuff like that. Some friends who did some arena stuff. Some
okay.
Steve tried to play football and stuff. If there's come to the point in time, you got to get real. Mm-hmm. If come to the point in time in life, you got to just sit down and say, you know, Simon Sinek wrote a book I love tremendously called Start With Why. Why do you do what you do? Most of us are taught from the time where you are able to walk, that is, are able to talk, really, is, you know, what do you want to do with your life? What? Mm-hmm. And what you don't realize is when you determine a what, everything after the what is predetermined for you. For instance, let me give you an example. If I want to be a doctor, I want to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. For a what? I chose the what. A doctor. Mm-hmm. Great profession. We need them, especially right now, right?
Yes.
You're a lawyer.
Oh, yes.
Well, your entire set of your benefit package, this is how many hours you're going to work. Mm-hmm. This is going to be your specialty. Everything is kind of predetermined for you once you pick a what. And after college, I didn't learn this until later on, but I didn't just get real with myself. I'm 5'10", 5'10 and a half. You know, on a good day, my wife's on a good day. I'm a nose guard, 230 pounds. Hey, no, where in the world I'm going to the next level at playing that position.
Okay.
You know, I had a decent 40, mm-hmm. you know, but I didn't have no running back 40. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I just got rid of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the best thing that happened to me was my wife. And I credit probably 99.9% of my success to her, because she kept me on the straight. Wow. She opened up my eyes. She let me see the truth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of different things in my decisions. And so, truly, going to the night, I wanted to get married. I wanted to get followed. I wanted to pursue excellence in what I thought at the time was a career. Mm-hmm. And so choosing not to go to the next level was, think about it. How many guys actually go, how many kids play Little League? Warner. I mean, how many kids go to high school?
Yes. So like
it's gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and the percentages get smaller mm-hmm. and smaller and smaller, and the percentage gets keeping. And so they just keep it real. Mm-hmm. You go back to what I said, start with why. Why are you pursuing football? Because one thing that I do mention young guys, and especially who want to do, you know, grandiose things, you know, social media things. All these, mm-hmm. And this, I said, okay, why? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. But why? Why do you want to do that? Well, because of this. And then what? Mm-hmm. And then what? And then what? Why? Why? Ask yourself why you're doing what you're doing. I think once you figure out your why, most people have identified why. And like, yes. I can speak now, you know, in my foresight, being forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I go back. I didn't even have this. I couldn't say it this way.
Yes.
But I just want to move forward. I want to progress. I begin the natural progression. Go to, you know, Little League, go to college, mm-hmm. you know, work hard, get a good job, get a good career, and you'll make it. Well, that's kind of how I was brought up. And I think that I'm not the only person out there that's been brought up that
yes.
way.
Yes, that's all of us.
And so that was the natural progression for me. Mm-hmm. Once I got real with myself and realized, I ain't going to no next level. There's no next level for me. Mm-hmm. I had some best friends. Like I said, those guys could have been next level.
Yes.
Had some injuries up here with that. But that was the next progression for me was get married, have kids, build a career. Mm-hmm. And even there, I even got things confused and out of whack. But that's really why I didn't go to that next level. Because I just realized, you know, I did buy off on that whole thing. Work hard, get a good education, and you'll make it. And I truly... For me, coming out of the inner city was the biggest blessing.
Okay.
You know, people tell me, would you go back to college? Yes. I would get a big fan of school. I probably wouldn't get those 3 degrees anymore. I probably would not stress myself out. One in 4 years probably would have been better.
Yes. Okay.
But I will say, to one, first and foremost, to me, my wife. When I go back to college, I would do it all over again to meet her. If I knew that she was at the end of that tunnel, I would do it again. Nice. And, of course, play football. I mean, there's nothing like going up on a Saturday morning. There's nothing like getting up early on a Saturday morning.
The best thing ever.
Getting with your boys, going to that walk to that locker room, you know, going out, doing a nice little jog around the field for a little bit, you know, going back to the locker room. You know, for me, every Saturday morning ritual before we even went to breakfast was I had to go to the trainer and do an ice bath. That was my mandatory ritual. I just had so many aches and pains, shoulder issues, knees. So I had an
before
ice
the game. Wow.
Before the game.
That's serious. Usually that's after the game, but before the game,
Yes. Before and after, I always did.
Okay.
It was time to clear my head. It was time to relax. It was time to get my muscles, get all the swelling down all my muscles as much as possible. But yeah, that was kind of my zoning time, if you will.
Okay.
It was peaceful. Then we would, you know, go meet up with the rest of the crew and eat breakfast and stuff. So that was kind of my thing, though.
Nice. I forgot to ask you, you mentioned it, but just want to, no, let it be known. So you played nose guard and fullback, or you just played nose guard for Eastern Oregon University?
So high school was both. Okay. College, so it was just purely nose guard.
Okay.
We ran a three-four flex, and you don't do that anymore. Man, nose guards are a dying breed. You gotta be a bad, you know what, in order to play nose guard, because you are taking a double triple team almost every play.
Every time, you gotta be super big. You really gotta be built a certain way now. To succeed, yes. So on this podcast, we talk a lot about mental health. When we play sports, I feel like it's our whole life with all the training, practicing, games. So what impact does it have on your mental health? They no longer can play the sport that you love. You talk about it already, but is there anything else you want to talk about? You know, just growing up, the passion for it to now you transition, like, okay, I'm good. It's like you have a good, healthy transition to the next level. But is there anything else you want to touch on, or just curious? Because
there's probably stuff I can touch on there.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to mental health, and we could get wrapped up in so many things.
Yes.
When it comes to sports, I'm specifically talking to sports. You know, I think a lot of times we're born with holes in our heart and life, and we try to fill it up with negative of life, especially as men. Mm-hmm. As a man, I'm going to speak from that perspective. We're going to try to fill with drugs, alcohol, pornography, sports. You know, we're going to try to figure out what we win at, what we're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Never really, and I think that becomes who we are, man. It's a double-edged sword. Being wrapped up in what we do allows us to provide for our family, allows us to protect ourselves, allows us to survive. But also being wrapped up in what we do makes us identify as something we do versus who we are. I'm not trying to teach my son to be an athlete. I'm trying to teach my son to be a wonderful husband and father. He's going to be a husband and a father longer than he is going to be my son in my household.
Right about that.
And I got 18 years. And so I think, if you can start to transition your brain, like I said, go back to that book and start with why. What do you want your life to look like in 10 to 15 years down the road? Not what you're doing. Not what you're doing as a career, not what you're doing as a job, not what you're doing to make money, but who are you? What do you want to do? I want to have six Saturdays and a Sunday with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I want to walk into the bank and I want to, with my whatever I'm wearing, and just be a different light in the world. And so people will say, you know, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I take my daughters on daddy-daughter dates. I take my son out to games. I wine and dine my wife. You know, I like to serve my church. I mean, anything specifically? No, I meant like for a job. Oh, well, why is it the first thing we identify is what we do? Same thing with athletes. We want to identify, well, I'm a football player. I'm a basketball player. I'm a this. I'm a straight-A athlete. Why would not be proud that you're a straight-A athlete first? You know, it's so funny, you know, the joke in sports in general, especially colleges, student athlete, and sometimes the coaches get it confused.
A lot of them get confused.
It's totally understandable because they have a profession, they have a job. Their job is on the line half the time.
Yes.
And so I get it. So don't be so wrapped up in what you're doing. Be more concerned about who you are. Don't ever worry about your reputation. If you take care of your character, your reputation takes care of itself. And that's, I have learned the hard lesson, even in college. And so when it comes to mental health, because I'm telling you right now, when I got out of college, my mental health went away. I never felt depression before. I'm not going to say I wasn't depressed, but it was definitely a bout of depression.
Yes.
I graduated in college in 2009. And if anyone remembers the recession of 2008, 2009.
I was 08. I'm like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Recession. Yes, I graduated that year. So here I am, Mr. Degrees, got 3 degrees, master's degree, with experience. Not like I just walked out of school. I managed part departments, I managed stuff, I was working, everything. I was involved. And I thought, sure. I'm newlywed. Here I am, a newlywed. I'm back for this family, bought a home. I'm like, man, we got to do something. I can find work for 6 months.
Yes. Remember those days.
And so, graduation, thinking I'm, you know, here I am, got people, you know, working, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go on load buses at FedEx. Here I am, you know, going, you know, work. My first job I can land, a full-time position after interview after interview, application after application, was making $10.58 an hour at a local thrift store here in town. And that's what I could find. And I look back at my wife and I look back at the time. My hairline was up to here. I'm, you know, I'm here to Anglo-Saxon woman, a.k.a. white. And which is totally cool. Mm-hmm. We were broke. I couldn't afford a $20 haircut back then.
Wow.
She was trying to learn to cut my hair, newlywed. Mm-hmm. We lived a different life. And I was so, and I got depressed because I was wrapped up in what I was providing. Yeah. I forgot I was her husband. Luckily, we didn't have kids during that time. That would probably have been even extra stress. I'm not sure we would have been able to survive our marriage at that time. Mm-hmm. But I was so wrapped up in who and what and the what and the what. What am I supposed to be doing? What is my career? What? Did I say start with why? Not your
yes.
what.
Yes.
And it did. It caused a major depression. Sport, and I think a lot of times, it's not necessarily just sports. But when you're trying to fill that gap up with sports or hobbies or even, you know, leagues of anything, I think it allows you to numb the pain of reality of where you're really at in life.
I agree.
And so I didn't have the ball there to, after that, to kind of keep me sane. To feel like I was still winning in something. Mm-hmm. I didn't have football there anymore. So when I couldn't find work and I was wrapped up in what I was supposed to be doing in the career, and it wasn't working out the way I thought it would be, I didn't have anything else I was excelling at. So naturally, I became depressed and frustrated and pissed off with life, truly. And that's why I'm kind of jaded about school today. I'm like, let's think about that. I'm an entrepreneur. Do I really need to go to school to be an entrepreneur? Yeah.
That is a billion-dollar question. When you're trying to, we all been there. It's that's a different conversation. But I'm with you all the way. I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
I'm not here to J school or talk about anything. I think it's great. Like I said, best thing happened to me. It got me out of the predicament of life that I was in.
The same thing.
From the time I was 10 to 18, the stuff I've seen and experienced, I didn't want to be around that anymore. So it definitely did with blessing for me in my life.
Yes.
But that being said, but because we're taught to be a what? When you go to school, get your education, and you make it, I forgot to focus on my character, focus on who I was and whose I was. I do have a spiritual root. I used to be a youth minister, so therefore, it's part of who I am.
That's real. It's your soul. Stop with your soul, your character, and everything else fall in place.
That's it. So that's the thing. That's what I said. So when it comes to mental health, we are all better. We are all better when we are in service to others.
Agree.
But when you are trying to figure life out for yourself and what's not happening in your life, you can't focus on other people. Stop focusing so much on success and focus on significance. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to create some level of success in your life. But when you start to impact people in a positive way and change your world around you, starting with your own community, significance is much greater than success. And once you taste the significance, success will never suffice.
Speak on it. That's real. So, how you became a teacher, a mentor in teaching? And a teacher. Because you are a teacher. So how do you transition to that career? With your partnership? Okay.
I was just blessed. I got tied to a local group of entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Highly successful, 20, 30 plus years of success. And they're not just in their finances, but in their life.
Okay.
And I saw what they had. And I wasn't attracted to the money. They had nice homes, nice cars. I was attracted to who they were as people. Never have I seen the combines of success as far as financial and the character to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I'm tied into today was probably married to their, not probably, is, not, not probably, is married to their first wife, 100% debt-free, and makes well over six-plus figure a year.
That's good. That's nice.
I was more attracted to who they were as people. And I really think a lot of stuff I'm talking tonight, I learned from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the lesson I learned from them. And so how did I get that? I pursue. I take my time, my energy, and effort. I said it earlier, it's not what you know, but who you know. Mm-hmm. And when you get around people who have the life you want, keyword, have the life you want. Not something that's similar, but what you want. Then once they have it, then they can teach you how to do it. And that's the focus on the who and the why. Once you know your why, for me today, I live my wife and I, we live our life, and these characteristics, my values is, mm-hmm. for me, God, my wife, my kids. If it doesn't have to do with those first three, if it takes away or causes me to jeopardize any of those relationships first, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be around it. I'm not going to be a part of it. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. If you want to do something different, you do you, boo-boo. But for me, I decided to want to live my life through my value system. And that's how I define my values. And so I just got lucky. I got the luck to draw, pursue them. And it's worked out for us. You know, we've learned a lot from them. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife and I, because of me being sick with money, we were about $100,000 in student loan debt. And with their help and their tutelage, you know, work paid that off about 3 years, a handful of years ago. And this changed our life. I'm married today because of these men and women. Mm-hmm. I've become a better person because of these men and women. Association will make or break you. And it's not, if you all know it, it's just like in sports. If you had a chance to learn how to play football from your local PB coach or Pete Carroll, who do you want to be coached by?
Yes. Go to the best. I think Will Smith said the best. He said your five closest friends dictates how you live.
And you take the sum of your five closest friends, their income, their lifestyle, what they eat, how they travel, what kind of cars they drive, it comes up with a figure. And whatever that figure is, it's closely within a matter of inches to yours.
That's real. So you are a mentor, a teacher. So what do you teach?
How to be a better person. Truly.
Okay. Hey.
No, actually, I'm a
That's connector. Inspirational.
I like to say more than a teacher. I like to say I'm a connector.
Okay. Okay.
I'm a connector.
You got to connect with people to teach. Like to, so you got to have that connection.
So what was afforded to me, I'm able to open up the similar doors for individuals as well. I'm in that position today. So what they've taught me and teach me, not like I've learned everything. Trust me, I got a lot to learn. I'm not arrived at all. Mm-hmm. But I like to think I'm a connector to these resources and these men and women I got tied into. And that's ultimately what I teach, is I give people perspective. Okay. I try to give people perspective. I also manage my family's company. And that's not solely what I do. I also, my wife's family owns a fire safety company. And I've actually been helping them manage that for the last 6-7 years as well. And so as I get my stuff off the ground and work through that as well. So, you know, they've been a big blessing in my life because, again, going to transition to opening my own and pursuing my own, I've been able to see the ins and outs of how an operation of a business works, a very successful business that they own, actually, on the last 6-7 years. I've been pretty much seen it front and center, the good, bad, and the ugly. And so that's been a big blessing for me as well because, again, who I surround myself by. And that was just having a luck of the draw. I chose my wife, and sure enough, that was just because of, like, I got married and tied into. But again, association is everything.
That's everything. Hey, it's the key to life, the key to happiness. You know, it's because you start surrounding yourself by good people. Someone told me this. She's actually an inspirational speaker, right? So she told me, like, job, money, material stuff doesn't mean nothing in the world unless you got good family members and good friends, because those are the people who give you. Gonna make your bad days good days. You know, we have bad days. They're gonna, people gonna help you, you know, inspire you to do better and get over the hump. And that's all that matters in life. So everything else falls in place. You got those people in your corner.
I got no guarantee to life. I'm gonna be black. I'm gonna stay black. I ain't got no choice. Can't change that.
Yes.
And I'm gonna pay taxes.
But you know, two things you can get away from. Yes.
But we all ain't gonna be able to leave this. We all gonna leave this earth.
Yes, that's real.
And when you leave this earth, there ain't gonna be no hearse, or there ain't gonna be no U-Haul with it.
That's real. So, what's next for you, though? I mean, you accomplished a lot. You know, congratulations. I like the way you transition from sports into coaching, connecting with people. Very inspirational, you know, your journey. So what's next? What's next for James?
I think for me, it's legacy. I'm pursuing, my wife and I, blessed. We're pursuing legacy at this point. What I mean by that is not what we, houses and cars. We're pursuing legacy. And legacy is not what you leave for your kids. It's what you leave in your kids.
That's real.
And for us, we're pursuing that right now. We're pursuing a family championship. You know, I'm pursuing excellence. I'm pursuing... I have major goals and dreams and visions for my life. There's no question about it. But truly, I'm chasing significance, not success. I realized, because again, once I make a different impact in other people's lives, success takes care of itself.
That's real. So since you're a mentor and a connector, we're going to leave that teacher word alone. You're a connector. How can people contact you? I mean, you know... You got athletes out there going through a transition, identity crisis, trying to find their way after sports. You know, do you provide some type of service, you know, to the athletes? Can they connect with you? If so,
you know, I'm on Facebook. I don't even know my Facebook. I don't know that stuff. So I just got back on social media. I think you and I talked about.
Yes.
I haven't been on social media in a minute.
Yes,
you
know, I'm
with family.
Open up to it.
We do have same last name. But yes, that just happened. Chance, he is my cousin.
Yes, family. This family all the way.
My cousin. I just let y'all know, but here's the deal. If you really want to reach me, here's my email. The letter J, the letter N, my last name Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M as in Mary, yes. The number 3, letters R-D, Reggie Dave, at gmail.com.
And if you guys can't get in contact with him, reach out to me. I'll be more happy to direct you to Mr. James Williams. To the teacher, the connector and the mentor of the year. Man, it's, you know, this conversation been very inspirational. I really want to thank you for taking time to really chat with me. Is there anything else we want to let the listeners know?
No, you know, Jay, I guess I really take time to like you do. I mean, everything I've talked about is what you're pursuing. You know, coming from the sports world, and they're taking some hiatus from the sports world and trying to navigate these new waters. You know, I think if you haven't woken up yet, this COVID thing has opened up a lot of our eyes into what's possible. Even if it hasn't, you're probably stuck. This COVID thing is really, you have to really question where you are going in life and what you're pursuing. Are you pursuing significance or success? Are you pursuing money? Are you pursuing change? I believe growth or success is measured in change. The more change, the more success. And as I said, if we're looking at you, man, you know, getting ground off the ground, working through that, you know, I love this whole, I learned this a while back, that anything great requires you to look like a fool for a little while. Anything great.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to step out. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. You don't realize a minority is still a majority. Because it just takes one
person to change the game.
And I think we're so bombarded with so many messages. You know, my wife will have our third daughter. I'm going to be the dad for them to show what a man looks like.
Yes.
I want them the world, showing them what a girl, what a woman looks like and what a woman does. Mm-hmm. I'm showing my son what a husband and a father looks like. I can talk, trust me, I'll talk him under the table all day about my sports accomplishments. But I'm not worried about my sports. I want him to be better than me. I want him to look at across my shoulders. I want him to be able to take where I stop and keep going.
Take it to the next level.
And versus most of us have to do, we always have to start zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want my daughters having some dude, the first dude to come up and talk about, what's up, shorty? Like, I ain't got time for that. I'm going to show you.
That's real.
My dog is like, what do you drive? What kind of car you got? What we working with? I want them to know quality.
Yeah.
Quality of man, quality of life.
Exactly.
Because that's what I want to expose him to. So what's next for James? But the most important thing, for my wife. That's what's next for James. Mm-hmm. Being an influencer in my community. I don't need to be an influencer in the world. Mm-hmm. Influencer in my community. Mm-hmm. You know, Mother Teresa, people always want to ask, you know, it was saying Mother Teresa got asked years ago, you know, how do I want to make a change. I want to make a difference like you. What do I do? She said, start with one.
So I'll take one.
Start with one person.
That's real.
All of us need to start with one. I believe it starts with yourself.
You're not happy, you can't be anything somebody else happy until you're happy. You know, you got to find your happiness.
You can't give away something you don't have.
That's real.
If you're not sick, guess what? You're not getting someone else sick. Mm-hmm. And we probably learned that more than ever in the last COVID season.
Hey. COVID definitely opened a lot of eyes and different, you know, I hope it changed a lot of people's perspective and life for the better, you know, because there's so much more out there, you know, so yeah.
I just tell people, keep grinding, figure it out, get around the right people who have good character, good morals, good values, who are going to make this country better, going to make your community better. That would be my encouragement. Find people like that who really want to make a truly difference and who are currently doing that. And when you find those people, ask them how they did it. And if they're really good character and really have values and really understand the power of yourself, of course they'll take you on the wing. I'm just an example of that. So
That's good. Well, thank you for taking time sharing your story with us with the Spurs Lounge. And we wish you many, many, many blessings and success with connecting and mentoring with your partnership. I mean, I can go on, man, but it was a pleasure. It was an honor. So thank you for all you do for the community, all you do for your family as an individual. You know, keep moving forward and much success, man. So thank you. So it was a pleasure. All right, man. Have a great day. It'll be a great evening. Again, thank you for joining the Sports Lounge. Many blessings.
Thank you.